B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, January 8th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news from over at the news desk. Plus, in honor of the new Congress being sworn in, we're going to decide on some important video game legislation for today's agenda. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Over the course of last year, we've been following the game situation in China. New games haven't been released in the country since March of last year. Now it seems that window has reopened, but with a major player missing from the equation. Of the 80 titles approved last week for release, not a single one was a Tencent property.
Now, this seems really weird, and a reversal of what we saw just last year, which seemed to be a pretty much like a rubber stamp for anything that had Tencent's name on it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what has shifted in China, but it seems like they're going after Tencent specifically by excluding them. I think it probably has something to do with the fact that Tencent has so much investment in Western companies and brands. I think that's a big deal.
I mean, as big as Tencent is, I'm actually surprised they were able to find 80 games that their fingers weren't already in.
Yeah, that's a good point. Tencent is one where, you know, they have been the poster child for, like, Chinese gaming now for the better part of the last, you know, half decade.
Yeah,
they've been huge for a long time. It is so weird to think that they would have some kind of falling out with China, especially because they were the ones who were kind of spearheading, like, the whole, like, you have to have the facial recognition on your phone, you can only play so many hours a day if you're under 18. That was them spearheading.
Maybe that had something to do with it, though. Like, but, I mean, because Tencent did seem to be a little bit more proactive when it came to trying to curb some of the more negative aspects of you know, gaming addiction. So maybe that had something to do with it. Maybe that was putting in roadblocks for some other company or business interest that they were concerned about.
Or what if Tencent has, you know, a patent on something that they've done with that facial recognition stuff that they may not be willing to divulge to the Chinese government?
Oh, very interesting. But totally
total
speculative.
All speculation.
Totally speculative.
Idea.
Yeah, no idea.
With 2018 behind us, we can now take a look at the year in review, and it was an amazing one for Epic Games. On the back of Fortnite, they reportedly posted over $3 billion in profit.
Ballin'.
While the company has many sources of revenue through the Unreal Engine, Fortnite was far and away the biggest breadwinner of 2018. Despite being free-to-play, the game has once again shown that microtransactions are far and away the most profitable model for gaming.
Yeah, I feel like some people, like, you need to hear it again to understand. That's billion with a B.
Yeah.
And that's not $3 billion in revenue versus your cost.
Profit.
$3 billion in profit.
We got $3 billion to spend.
Yeah. Yes. That's ridiculous.
That is an unreal amount of money.
That's part of why Fortnite, you know, kind of continues to stay relevant. I mean, every month or every other month, they're reinventing that map and reinventing that game in some way, shape, or form. They can do that because they keep making so much dang old money.
Well, this game is in early access.
The fact that they put that on their splash screens. But, I mean, like, this was really driven home to me over the holidays when one of my little cousins, as soon as he got a check from his grandma, went to my cousin and was like, "Oh, Dad, can I turn this into V-Bucks?" And it was like,
oh, my gosh.
Like, the first thing that he asks for, and that to me was that was a huge messaging that, wow, Fortnite really has figured out the way to market specifically to a very, very young demographic.
What really surprises me most about this too is does Fortnite have actual loot boxes? Everything that you buy in Fortnite, like, you're outright buying, aren't you?
I think they have loot boxes.
I have no idea.
Battle pass.
I don't know. The battle pass. Yeah,
don't know.
Even this late in its life cycle, the PS4 is continuing to move units. It's now sold over 91 million units in its lifetime, buoyed by an additional 5.6 million units sold over the holidays this year. In addition, Spider-Man alone is responsible for over 9 million sales.
Wow.
You know what this shows me, though? That if games are continuing to be developed the way they're going to be developed and people are still selling consoles this late into a cycle, then we may not see another cycle come this soon again. This may be the last time where we see, oh, okay, 10 years and done.
Yeah.
10 years and done. That paradigm is probably over. I think the hardware is good enough now to where really it's just depending on how strong the internet infrastructure is in your town.
No, you're kind of right. I mean, I think that we've kind of, you know, there was a tech demo that was shown off by Epic where they had Andy Serkis act a whole bunch of lines, and they digitally
real-time
rendered
motion capture.
Was like real-time motion capture, and it was like one of the most impressive graphical feats that I've ever seen. And again, this was being done in real time, and so I do think that we've kind to hit almost peak graphics technology.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not there yet, we are really close. And I don't know what the next stage in evolution of games is. And that's what I think all of the investment around VR and AR is all about, because it's like, how do you place more junk piles on a map? Yeah, what realistically, how do you make a game more realistic than they already are? I think that, you know, the photorealism aspect of video games has been pushed to its very limit. So it's kind of a mystery where it goes from here.
Well, and if the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One S has shown us anything as well, we are all 100% ready to buy these side grade consoles as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, frame rate is, you know, like stats like that are going to start being much more important signifiers moving forward than they used to be. So, I think that that's just the next step in the evolution of graphics technology.
Nintendo's hybrid console is getting another third-party port, as Capcom has announced that their popular 2012 RPG, Dragon's Dogma: Dark Arisen, will be releasing on the Switch.
Yes!
The game's release date is set for April 23rd and will cost $30.
Woo! For 30 bucks, I'm getting it!
Yeah, dude!
I'm ready. Dragon's Dogma was dope.
I played the original release. I played through maybe half of Dark Arisen before I had to move on to something else. I'm really excited to be able to play this on my Switch.
Same.
What a great game for the Switch. Perfect vehicle for it. Super excited.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
It was speculated that the new Alien Blackout would be announced at the Game Awards this year, but that announcement didn't come until this week. The new title will continue the adventures of Amanda Ripley from Alien Isolation. In addition, it will be a mobile title.
No! No, they Diablo Immortal them!
Yikes! Oh, no.
That's pretty hilarious.
That is pretty.
That is funny.
I've seen footage from it. It looks pretty decent.
It looks okay to me. Alien Isolation.
I honestly think that we as gamers need to start getting comfortable with this, that this is going to keep happening.
Yep.
Because it's more efficient and effective
and
for a
money
developer.
Making. Let's just keep keep it funky.
They're going to make more money doing that.
Yeah.
Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night continues to edge closer to its release sometime in 2019, but they've canceled another two versions of the game. Following the cancellation of PS Vita and Wii U version of the game, they've now canned the Mac and Linux builds of it. To be fair, the Wii U version was canceled in favor of a Switch version.
Yeah, this is okay.
I'm not too worried about them canceling like versions for like Linux and Mac.
Yeah,
it doesn't worry me too much.
Yeah, me neither.
Pokemon Go continues to bring in impressive numbers. The game brought in just under $800 million in 2018, marking a 35% increase in revenue over 2017. The numbers are attributed to a regular stream of in-game and real-world events.
That is just the title that refuses to stop. It's doing really good.
Yeah, seriously.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. Comedian, actor, and musician Jack Black has waded into the waters of YouTube. He started a new channel called Jablinski Games, which has a focus on life, food, and gaming, which is a kind of a weird spread. The channel already has over 3 million subscribers and only has 3 videos.
That is correct.
This is a big oddity. Of course, I think Jack Black has figured out what the rest of the podcasting world already knew, is that if you put a celebrity on your show or on your channel, automatically you're going to
get followers.
Yeah,
the incumbent
really
audience
is
great.
It's a bit of a known secret that that's how you come up with an instantly successful podcast. Seems like that's a good way to launch a YouTube channel as well.
I keep hearing, whenever I listen to his videos, I keep hearing Undertale music and Undertale sound effects. And I've never heard him talk about Undertale. And I mean, I'm not a huge Jack Black follower. I don't know.
I'll be curious to see if he actually ends up saying anything about it. But of the three videos he's put out, I have no idea what to expect from this channel.
Listen, Jack Black has a team, and they're putting the most of the packaging from these videos together. There's probably somebody on his team.
No,
actually,
no.
I think he's doing it with his son.
If you watch the videos, he's doing this himself.
This is very much a DIY effort.
Y'all think he still ain't got a team? You think that still ain't running through like 20 PR people?
Listen, the one that he did recently, where he went to the Pinball Hall of Fame in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Watching that, I mean, it looks like it was recorded on a phone. Yep. It definitely looks like it's just him holding the phone.
I mean, he's doing very safe jokes. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
It doesn't strike me as being very workshopped.
No. Yeah. I think this is just something he wants to do.
I don't know, man. I still get very leery when I hear about stuff like this.
I get leery when I hear games and food put into the same kind of general category.
That's literally Joe.
I just don't know why I care about what Jack Black has to say about either one of those things. But listen, we want to hear from you. What do you think of Jack Black getting into the world of YouTube? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, it's 2019, and in honor of the new Congress, we're going to put forth some video game legislation to vote on. That discussion is ahead in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Evo Japan is coming up later this month, but what game is missing?
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the sports hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, it's 2019, and in honor of the new Congress, we're going to put forth some video game legislation to vote on. Plus, we'll sit down with Brendan Alvarez, a collegiate Overwatch player from UCI. Those conversations are ahead today here on Checkpoint XP. But first, we'll check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an esports gaming update.
With Sarah Skopic.
In a shock move, the most popular fighting game of 2018, Dragon Ball FighterZ, will not appear at Evo Japan. At first, fans speculated that it was anime house Toei that was blocking the game from competition, but in a tweet the day after Christmas, they said they have no knowledge of blocking any use of the game for tournament play. In addition, the game has now been dropped from DreamHack Atlanta and Anime Ascension. Currently, no one is owning up to it.
Ooh.
Yeah, nobody's made an official statement. It's really, really absurd.
This is really confusing, considering as it was stated, as Sarah had pointed out, one of the most popular fighting games of 2018, and to have it
this is
going to
torpedo this esports scene.
To have it absent from a Japan tournament specifically really seems like a misstep.
And this is part of the problem with anime fighters and certain licenses, is that there's a lot of people that have their hands on the brand.
Yep.
And a lot of people are saying Shueisha, who publishes Shonen Jump, might be sort of the last logical culprit.
I don't understand. How can we not know? Like, it came from, the blockage came from somewhere. How can we not trace that back?
Yeah, that's a great question. You get an email from a lawyer. That lawyer says you can't use this game.
But the lawyer has to say who they represent.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's said anything official yet, so who knows?
I don't know that much about Japanese law, but yeah, that's true. Think you can
they
just...
may not, who knows? They may not have that requirement.
I have no idea, but this is a very confusing situation and really unfortunate for Evo Japan. I think everyone was very excited to see what would come out of Evo Japan for Dragon Ball FighterZ. So very disappointing.
One of the gambling centers of the U.S. has devoted over $500,000 to promoting esports. Atlantic City officials say that they are using the funds to hold events between the Atlantic City Convention Center and the Jim Whelan Boardwalk Hall. The first event comes in May with an FGC tournament and will, as with all esports in Atlantic City, be legal for sports betting.
Yeah, specifically they're putting $700,000 into esports tournaments and promotion.
I mean,
that's
fantastic. And obviously there is an opportunity to get in on, you know, the esports craze right now. They see that. But can I just get a permanent sports book somewhere for esports,
right?
Please?
And by
please?
I think Michigan recently just passed sports gambling through our house, so maybe here in Detroit we might get that in the near future.
It's just shocking that even in Vegas we couldn't find one, because we set out to try to find one.
I can't wait till you get to the point where you can bet on, like, really specific things, like the first person who wins $1 million with the first person who dies from, like, a Torbjorn melee.
Oh! Yeah, like really specific prop bets.
I like that.
That'd be hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
With 2018 finally over, the Esports Observer dropped a list of the highest-earning esports organizations of the year. And as expected, OG Gaming, winners of Dota 2's The International, topped the list. Other organizations include Team Liquid at number 2 with over $7 million, and Cloud9 in the number 8 spot with a little over $3 million.
It's worth noting that had OG won the Dota 2 International and not played in anything else, they still would
get the number one spot.
That's insane.
Now, and of course, they did win more tournaments because they qualified for the International.
That's true. So they got all of those prize pots as well. Even if they didn't even show up to any other tournaments, the whole rest of the season.
That would have been about it.
And it shows just how much of an outlier the International is. But at the same time, as these organizations grow and as esports grow, I think you're going to have to start seeing that gap closing.
But do you,
have to.
I think you will obviously see the gap closing, because I don't think that the International is sustainable long term. However, do you really think that we're going to start seeing other prize pools start to balloon upward? I definitely see the International coming down. I don't know that I see the inverse happening.
I think you will as investment grows.
I mean, yes, a little bit, but to get up to that,
no one's going to be offering $20 million
to the International.
No way.
No.
Yeah, I think we've probably seen the largest in esports prize pool will ever be.
Yeah,
at least for decades.
Yeah.
Team Liquid has struck a partnership with the Professional Fighters League, a mixed martial arts competition that sees fighters compete in a regular season and playoff structure. The partnership will see some Team Liquid personalities performing ringside during fights. There's a good bit of overlap between the demographics that esports and mixed martial arts reach, so it'll be interesting to see how the partnership develops.
I think that other events that have combined either wrestling or MMA and esports have done pretty well.
The wrestling one was pretty notable.
Down in Daytona. But
they didn't have them playing ringside.
Correct.
That's the part about this that makes me kind of like, what?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
It is a little weird.
Exactly. Are they just playing a game ringside?
When I attend, what am I supposed to be watching?
Yeah. Very good point. Like, if they maybe brought the rig out into the center of the octagon and then made them duke it out with that would be awesome.
This is the beginning of Terralo Boxer. This is the beginning of people being able to control humanoid robots ringside and fight each other. This is going to be lit.
I think Chris Jericho hosted that show.
Did he?
I think he hosted a show where they had big robots fighting each other. I'm pretty sure.
I All I know is that that was the theme of a music video from a friend of mine's band way back in the early 2000s, so.
Bandai Namco is looking to right the ship during a messy period for their esports scene. They've appointed Tekken producer Katsuhiro Harada to head the company's new esports strategy team. With the massive success of Tekken 7 and Dragon Ball FighterZ, it's no surprise the company's making a move to capitalize on its growing esports scene. Harada has confirmed Bandai Namco will take a more active role in funding and supporting the competitive scene for their games.
Well, I can tell you what his first job is going to be.
Yeah, seriously.
Figuring out what's going on with Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Seriously, yeah. And I mean, that's the right guy to do it. Harada's done an amazing job with everything with Tekken 7, including the Tekken World Tour. So I think this is the right guy to have in place to sort of foster that. So good luck to him. I hope he does great.
Genesis 6 has revealed their rule set for Smash Ultimate for their upcoming tournament on February 1st. The event in Oakland, California will be the first major fighting game tournament to include Smash Ultimate, and their rule set may set the standard for Smash tournaments. Three stock, no hazards, no items isn't surprising to anyone. However, the allowing of Mii fighters to have any moveset is definitely raising some eyebrows.
I don't know. It seems pretty fair.
I mean, just as long as that moveset is locked before you play your first match.
You shouldn't be able to counter somebody's pick with it.
Exactly.
That's fair. Yeah,
exactly.
I can see that.
Exactly, yeah.
PUBG Corp is looking to be taking cheating seriously in their esports scene. While the competitive leagues are just beginning to get underway, PUBG Corp wasted no time in banning out four players before the end of 2018. In addition, the European League has now also banned an additional 12 players for cheating.
Ooh, good.
Get them.
Get them out. Yeah, I was like, PUBG Corp is not risking the same thing that Fortnite was dealing with at the end of last year. No,
nope. Absolutely.
If we have cheaters, we're getting them out.
Ban the bums. Get them out.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. Last year, we introduced a new bit on the show called the Drama Pool. During the Overwatch League season, we'd bet to see what the next player would be to be disciplined in OWL. Well, with the new season upon us, Blizzard is set to make that even a little bit easier.
Yeah, so they've introduced the player discipline tracker for 2019.
It's
which
pretty ridiculous.
It does
this
exactly what it sounds like.
Hilarious.
It is an updating list of times when teams have had to discipline their players.
Right, no, so no. Hang on. Based on this feature, you cannot tell me that Blizzard doesn't listen to this show.
Fair.
They heard
They heard our show.
They heard our drama pool and went, oh, yeah, we can totally help facilitate that.
Oh, yeah.
No, I need to ask Norris. Based on you and Joe's reaction, this isn't something that traditional sports does?
Okay, here's what they do. There's a sports wire that teams then go to and put news out, and that's how you find out who's suspended or whatever.
Okay.
There's not an actual website.
Yeah, that actually mimics more like the AP newswire.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a website you could go to and see exactly in a graphic.
It's like a wall of shame.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Now, look, earlier in the segment, I said all I want is a esports book somewhere, right? Like Atlantic City, Vegas, it doesn't matter.
The discipline tracker?
That's what I want. That's what I want. I don't want the drama pool to just be a little thing that we do here on Checkpoint.
Yeah.
I want to make the drama pool
a reality.
Real. I want to give that thing some teeth and some real stakes.
All right, but we go back to zero. If we go back to zero, everybody real quick, pick something right now.
Yeah, because I think for season two, we need to be reset to zero.
Well, of course we need to be reset to zero, but you're putting me on the spot making me choose now.
He could barely name half the original teams, let alone the new ones.
You got a week. Next week, we're talking about the drama pool.
Fine. Right. We will make our drama pool selections next week. But, I mean, honestly, I think that this is a hilarious feature, but also one that might actually inspire other leagues to do the same thing. Well, and I think that it's more along the lines of, like, public shaming than it is to, you know, like, really benefit fans of the league.
It is, but it's transparent.
I commend them for that,
yeah,
too.
So from I appreciate it.
I'm just flipping through some of these, like things that they did. Account boosting.
Oh, they're all going to jail.
Selling an account and obstructing league office investigation.
What?
Throwing matches and toxicity. Find $1,000 for account sharing. Like, yeah, there's some serious stuff.
But you know what? That's all really interesting, because I want to know more about how he tried to block officials. levels? That's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Listen, we want to hear from you. Who would you bet your money on in the OWL drama pool? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll sit down with Brendan Alvarez, a collegiate Overwatch player who decided that going pro isn't for him. But ahead next, in honor of the new Congress being sworn into office, we've come up with some important video game related legislation. We'll put that to a vote ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes, Tali and Fritz. And if you sub to the channel, you'll get a third emote. Our actual cats are being turned into Twitch emotes for fun and profit, and there's only one place to get them. That's twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Last year on Election Day, we here at Checkpoint XP did our civic duty and got to the polls, but in the spirit of the occasion, we also came up with some of our own legislation to vote on. Well, now in honor of the new Congress being sworn in, Joe's got some more important legislation for us to consider.
That's right. We've got some important proposals that are going to affect the future of gaming as we know it, and we need to go over these. So what's going to happen is I'm going to give you guys the proposal as the Speaker of the House here today. You guys are going to vote on them, and if it passes, it will go to the general election, which is the audience over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP, who will give the final vote.
And I'd like to welcome in our freshman senator, Sarah Skopic, is going to be joining us for our vote today.
Surprise. Oh, man, it's just like real life. We had women and everything.
Yeah,
woo! We've got a female millennial in here.
Yes. Finally, it's about time.
Oh, God. All right.
So here we go.
Topical. Yay. All right. So let's get to our first proposal. Again, it's an up and down vote.
Yep.
We've got our committee over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP that's going to be voting on this as well. But if these movements come out of committee, we're going to throw it to them. If not, it dies on the vine with us.
Correct.
So, all right. First proposal.
All right. Prop 1. Final Fantasy 16 is announced and releases this year.
Okay.
But it's a mobile title.
Oh, man. Could it actually be any worse?
Ooh.
All right,
I love it.
I put it to the floor.
I love
yay
it.
Yay or nay?
Yay.
I'm going yay too. Yeah. Yay. You know, yay. I want to see this.
Here's why.
How they try to do it.
Here's why. I have almost nothing but Animus left for Square Enix.
That's what it is.
And I just want to see him make the worst decision possible. And I feel like that would be among the worst decision possible.
I'd like to see the fanboys try and defend this one.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the graphics finally go down a peg.
All right. I like that. All right. So we'll revisit that at the end of the segment because that has passed committee.
Yes.
All right. Proposal 2. Take-Two announces a new BioShock game with Ken Levine involved. But
okay,
we don't see it until 2023 after multiple delays. Yay or nay?
This is tough.
I'm going to say
there's
nay.
There's an important caveat here, though. Ken Levine being involved, I think, is...
Because it sounded like he was going to pick up his ball and just, I'm done with games.
Yeah, because that's my current concern with the talks of reviving the BioShock franchise.
Yeah.
Is what is Ken Levine's involvement?
Yeah.
That's the big thing for me, because of course they can, you know, like, who's the owner of that? Is it 2K Games?
Take-Two
and 2K. So they could easily resurrect it. They don't need Ken to be involved, but you want him to be involved.
Right.
I'm going to say yay.
I'm also saying yay based on the fact that when Take-Two delays stuff, they usually do deliver on what they're creating.
All right, and Sarah?
I'm just saying yay simply because I'm of the opinion that if it's... BioShock, I felt like, was kind of so much all at once that if you take a little bit more time, maybe you'll get more people that might be more interested in the series.
Yeah.
Okay. That may be a 3-1 vote. It passes.
There you go.
All right.
We're going to take the results of that from our Twitch chat by the end of the segment.
Prop 3. Microtransactions are reasonably restricted in a sensible fashion, including bringing loot boxes under rein. But the U.S. government assumes the responsibility of rating games.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, no. Yay or nay?
I'm saying yay.
Okay.
Really?
I'm saying yay because really? I'm saying yay because the ESRB has screwed the pooch on this. They've proven that they're not willing to do what needed to be done in order to rein this in. The government is going to step in. They're going to take control. They're going to rate games, and it's going to harm the industry. Even though microtransactions will be a little bit better, you're going to see a lot of games that are not going to be pushing the envelope like they said before. I'm going to say yay.
I'm also going to put a yay on there because I don't think that we're going to get game censure from this, right? So, and I don't know that anything that we get would go so far as to be rated adult. I think we'd end up with more mature games, which I'm fine
Interesting.
With.
Interesting. I am very well versed in the government's history with regulating media, and I know that they tend to be very, very bad at it. I'm going to go nay on this one. This is definitely something that I think if it happens to the video game industry would be a big, big loss. Self-regulation is an important thing, and we need to keep that intact.
I would also say nay, only if you had asked me 4 years ago, I might have said yay, but looking, I think for me, the problem is that our government is so volatile that it really depends on whoever is in power of what that would mean.
Yeah.
So I think it would actually...
Can I change to a nay?
No. Here's what I'm going to say as the 2-2 split. I am going to say yay, purely that I think everyone should have a voice on this one, and I'm going to put it to the chat
okay.
to decide.
Okay.
All right. Well, there you go. Chat, you get 3 to decide on so far. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening right now in our Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Make sure you join us Monday through Friday starting at 5 p.m. Eastern to get in on some of these fun interactive bits. We do them here all the time on the channel. Make sure you follow us. Again, that's twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
All right, Prop 4. Large esports leagues will solve many of the problems they face with player health and longevity, but in doing so, only 4 esports will remain viable within the next couple of years.
Okay, I have to know which ones they are, though. And
only 4. I'm not telling you who gets it right.
Ooh. Man, I think that's a very big gamble.
I agree.
4? I'm going nay. I'm going hard nay.
I got to go nay, too, because that would sort of... that would take away the notion that somebody could see all those other leagues failing and then make a new league with a new game and make that a success.
I don't know that 4 static companies at the top of the pyramid is ever even sustainable in esports the way that things the churn that esports has, the way that games come in and out of popularity. I think that is what makes esports fundamentally interesting for me, because as someone who is a fan, I'm always met with something new and interesting that I can either sink my teeth into or watch as a casual fan.
All right, nay.
I'm gonna have to go nay too. That's
it dies
too much. Yeah.
All right, Prop 4 is voted down. All right, real quick, Prop 5. 2019 will be
yeah. That's right. Sarah's opinion doesn't matter.
You have to at least still give her a vote.
Okay,
we're running out of time, though. It's not gonna matter.
For me, health is always the number one concern. So players' health. So that's the only reason I was like, well, that sounds good, but it dies anyway.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Prop 5. 2019 will be the worst year of the decade for gaming, but 2020 will see a successful launch of both PS5 and the new Xbox.
I'm gonna say yay.
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 Yeah, I'm going yay.
Not
on
sure
that one.
What else blockbuster?
Where else do you go? I
can go a year without good games. It's okay.
Yeah, I think that's actually a fairly reasonable prediction. And to just take a look at what our chat room says, Prop 1 FF16 comes out, but it's a mobile title. 63% saying nay on that one. That one's getting voted
prop
down.
Prop 1 is
you
voted down.
Of course,
fanboys.
Prop 2, Take 2 announces a new BioShock game, but it doesn't come out till 2020.
2023. 86% on the yays on that one.
Yays.
So that one is passed. And, wow, on Prop 3, microtransactions are reasonably restricted, but the U.S. government assumes rating responsibility. We have a 50-50 split.
Oh, no.
Wow.
It is a dead heat. It is a dead heat. Sorry. That's all the time that we have for that discussion. But listen, we do want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. But ahead next on Checkpoint XP, we'll sit down with Brendan Alvarez. He's a collegiate Overwatch player who has a different path in mind than most competitors his age. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP.
Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name is Nate Bender. So glad to have you with us. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com to subscribe to our growing offering of podcasts. Follow us at Twitch at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP to join the show live, or connect with us on social media at CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. While we were on the campus of the University of California, Irvine, we got unique access to not just their top-of-the-line esports arena, but players and staff that have been working passionately on bringing this world-class esports program together. So we sat down with Brendan Alvarez, flex tank for the UCI Overwatch team, and picked his brain about what it's like to be a student esports athlete.
So first of all, I gotta say, what about this facility? Because every time I see it and every time I walk through it, I'm just more and more amazed. How do you feel knowing that you go to a school that provides this for you?
I mean, there's a lot of things to say. Like, it makes me feel really good. Makes me feel really proud, you know? Like, whoa, I go to the school that, like, provides this for their students. Like, I feel kind of special. And just, like, really happy because, like, in between classes, I get to come, like, here and play, do my favorite thing, which is play video games, right?
That's right.
Now, as the opting for the Overwatch team, I'd actually like you to tell us a little bit about, you know, like when you play Overwatch, you know, your main, sort of how'd you get into it? You know, what brought you to this point?
So to start off, like, I was a Team Fortress 2 player. So
as most Overwatch players.
As most Overwatch players were.
Yeah, so hearing about Overwatch and, like, kind of like the dying down, like, popularity of Team Fortress 2 and, like, the increasing popularity of Overwatch, like, it kind of made, like, the natural switch, right?
Sure.
So I went into Overwatch and immediately wanted to find a team because I had just kind of gone to the competitive scene for Team Fortress 2, and I realized, wow, I really like playing with the team, right? So I'm gonna try finding a team. And, like, as soon as, like, I, like, that thought came in my head and Overwatch came out, someone in, like, one of the gaming clubs here was like, I'm making an Overwatch team for UCI, who wants to join? And I'm like, heck yeah, that's exactly what I wanted. Like I've been given a path and I'm going to follow it, right?
Right.
And so I joined that club team. You know, we did pretty well. You know, eventually UCI Esports became founded, and then we became a scholarship team, so I tried out for that because, you know, everyone needs to try out.
That's
and
right.
Guaranteed spots, which
that's
is
right.
I completely agree with. And so I became a part of that team, and then that's kind of just how I got here. I'm a returning player now.
Have you always preferred the tank role then, even back in Team Fortress 2?
No, I actually have, like, always been a DPS player, actually.
Mm-hmm. And you had a higher calling.
Pretty much. Okay, so I still like the DPS role, like, the most, but our team needed an off-tank player, and it kind of just fits best for me to do it. I still have some experience in off-tank, mm-hmm. and I play a lot of the heroes, like, in the comp queue. I will flex often. I don't just, like, pick DPS.
Good man.
You know?
Good man.
Because nobody wants to play with 4 DPS, right? And so I just picked, I took up the off-tank role. They said that I'm probably the one, like, best fit to do it.
Okay.
And so that's just kind of why I'm doing it. And I still enjoy it, so it's a fun role.
No, it is a very fun role. If I do have to flex, I'm usually a diva or something like that.
Yeah.
So when you're off-tanking, who are you off-tanking usually as?
Diva. Diva's like the main off-tank right now. There's beautiful. No question about it. Zarya's going to be like the other off-tank, and then very, 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 very little I'll play Roadhog.
Well, and the thing with Diva that I love is just, like, her kit is so complete.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? She's got mobility. She's got defensive options. She
heal options. Left and right. She has everything.
Yeah, yeah. She's got everything. She's probably one of the more complete characters in the game, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, you talked about being a part of a team. You talked about, you know, trying out and everything. What difference does that make? Because a lot of our listeners are casual Overwatch fans. They watch the OWL. How important is it to have a solid team with a game like Overwatch?
It's like incredibly important. It's like having a team that like works together and like is working together as a team is way more important than like a, I guess I would say any other factor. Mm-hmm. Because I would, like our first year when we were just a club team, like our team was all team players. None of us were really high ranked. I think even maybe I was the highest ranked. And I was only like 4K, 4.1 maybe back then. And like all the rest of us were masters. Right?
That's wow.
So, yeah. But we were still a really high performing team and like beating all these teams, like people calling us like the number one seed, you know, mm-hmm. back then because we just worked so well as a team. We played a dive comp and like nobody else played that comp back then. And so like just because we worked together as a team, even though the other teams had more mechanically better players and players who performed better like individually,
yeah,
but they still couldn't beat us because the team play was what was important.
And see, I think that's really important because a lot of people go into Overwatch treating it as if it's Call of Duty or something like that, to where you can have one or two really mechanically sound players or gifted players that could just take over a match mm-hmm. when, first of all, they all end up playing Genji. And, you know, that style of play just simply does not work against good, organized teams in Overwatch. And I just love to hear, especially young players, people who are at the high school and college level, talk about the importance of communication and talk about team synergy and stuff like mm-hmm. that. I really love it.
So I guess my next question for you is, since you have a background back even in Team Fortress 2 and you played Overwatch since its inception and you've been on the team for a while, mm-hmm. Like, is your next step going to the professional level? Is that what you're aiming for?
To be honest, no.
Okay.
The whole time that I've been playing games, like going pro has always been kind of like that risk, right?
And of course.
It's always, everybody knows it's a risk, but I'm not quite, I wasn't confident that was a risk that I wanted to take. You know, I'd rather just focus on schooling, which is why I came to college, you know? And then like I kind of like got more of an idea of how the pro like scene was, you know, because like the Overwatch League is kind of really transparent, right?
Which is what my next question was. Even in just this last year with the Overwatch League going to the franchise model, it sort of changed what the pro scene would have looked like otherwise. Did it do anything to change your mind or assuage any fears that you had?
So I think it's a lot more legitimate to take that path, which I really like. I think it kind of lessened the risk, but at the same time, what that transparency showed me was like how much like work those guys are playing every day. You know, it's like it's a lot. Like those guys are putting in pretty much every second of their like life into that game, even their free time. And to be honest, I'm not quite confident that it's something I could do, so which is why I don't feel like I'm fit for the pro scene.
Well, and I think that's really admirable because, you know, the more we talk to young people and especially young people who are involved in esports, of course, going pro is like the aim. Going pro is the dream. But it's, in my opinion, really refreshing to hear somebody that says, no, this is something I'm really into and I really like it, but my focus is education. Is it that by being involved with UCI Esports, that was sort of a vessel for you to sort of get involved and continue following your passion, like you said. But also, I mean, make school a little bit easier, whether mm-hmm. it be financially or not.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, the other thing is, like, I can come here and play video games just like I love doing and still get the scholarship and still kind of get that little, like, experience kind of being, like, I wouldn't say I'm not a professional player, but like kind of get that limelight that professionals do. Yeah. Even just playing on the team is like just so much fun, and getting like the support that the staff here or in the program here gives you, that's like enough to like satisfy me almost.
So big man on campus.
That's right. So what is it like then trying to balance, you know, the responsibilities that you do have towards your team and towards practice with your academic responsibilities?
It's pretty tough, to be honest. Like just like give an example, like the past 2 weeks have been like since school started, like I felt like I've had very little free time. Mm-hmm. I played very little games outside of Overwatch because like it's all for the team, right? Here I'll use an example from yesterday. I went to class. I had to go to the gym because like going to the gym is like kind of part of our program here at UCI, right? So make sure we're physically and mentally well and all. So I went to the gym, came back to practice, then I went back home like 8 and went to bed. So it's pretty much like that's the like a schedule for, you know. So
how do you find the time to grind out all of your holiday skins then?
Okay, that's like that's the beauty of like the UCI Esports program, to be honest. Like I
come here, get that 20% XP bonus.
That too. But also just like if I have gaps in between classes, which I do have a few, mm-hmm. I come in here, play a bit, and then I can go back. So that's like my little bit of free time.
Right.
Yeah.
Brendan Alvarez, off tank for the UC Irvine Overwatch team. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks again to Brendan for his time. For more information about the UCI Esports program, visit their website at esports.uci.edu. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Make sure you tune in tomorrow as we will ask our social media followers about their goals for 2019. And join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the news desk. And of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.